Well, this morning I'm going to begin a series called Vibrant, a Spirit-Filled Life. Church, I will tell you, Vibrant is about encountering and embracing the Spirit-Filled life that God has promised and purposed for every single believer. Now, if you were to go and look up the word vibrant, in one sense, it means full of energy and enthusiasm. In another sense, vibrant means bright, striking, brilliant, rich in color, and bold. In thinking about our faith and our walk with Jesus Christ, I say may each of these definitions resonate strongly as we live Holy Spirit-filled lives. I want to be vibrant for Jesus Christ. Amen. I believe that living a Spirit-filled life, it is not an option for the believer, but it is the very core of living out our faith as you and I live in Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is a part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. And I love that because I believe that some of us think that, well, the Spirit-filled life is for these individuals and then these individuals over here, not so much. I mean, yes, they're saved, but that whole Spirit-filled thing is maybe not for them. Can I tell you, every single believer ought to be living a Spirit-filled life. It's who we are. Mark Batterson says, take the Holy Spirit out of the equation of my life, and it would spell B-O-R-I-N-G, boring. Add to him the equation of your life, and anything can happen. And that's what we want, the power of God working in and through our lives. I will tell you that the Holy Spirit is the presence, the passion, and the power of God that drives our spiritual walk and our pursuit of all things in this world that pertain to Jesus Christ. Church, a Spirit-filled life is one that demonstrates, I believe, a constant hunger for more of God. It's the individual that says in their spiritual walk, they're going to be committed and not fickle, faithful and not wavering, stable and not insecure, bold and not passive, powerful and not weak. That's the life that Jesus Christ wants us to live, amen? A Spirit-filled life is made evident in our spiritual fruit, and it is characterized by the truth and the ways of Jesus and not by any other means. If you're living a Spirit-filled life, you ought to be able to see the fruit that's coming from that. A Spirit-filled life is being blessed by God's flowing presence, not by man's floundering religion. A Spirit-filled life is being renewed and being made alive in Christ every single day. So today, as we lay the foundation for vibrant, the Spirit-filled life, we're going to begin with this thought, a simple thought, a welcome resident. Now, in believing and accepting Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, every believer, church, hear me this morning, every believer receives the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit when you accept Jesus Christ into your life. Now, in one of his last discussions with his disciples before he was betrayed, arrested, and crucified, Jesus gave the promise of the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14, verse number 15 reads like this. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. While Jesus was with him and he was Spirit-filled and the Holy Spirit was upon him in his life, the Holy Spirit was with him. Now he is telling him, giving him that promise, he will be in you as well. It is in this promise where every believer would receive the dwelling Holy Spirit the moment that they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior. It is the promise of the new covenant bringing spiritual renewal or rebirth or regeneration, however you want to word that. The promise right here is what Jesus is giving of that dwelling presence of God's Spirit. In chapter 20 of John, after the resurrection of Jesus, John's gospel reveals the promise that is being fulfilled that was given there in chapter 14. So John 20, verse 19 says, on the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and he stood among them and he said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples, they were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, "Even so, I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed upon them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." So he's given them power and authority. Now, we know that it's only through Jesus Christ that your sins are forgiven. But they would go now and be the messengers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it was at this historical moment in Scripture where the provisions of Jesus' death and resurrection became fulfilled, and the new covenant of salvation would be at work in all who would choose to believe and accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is important for every believer to understand that you are no more or no less than any other when it comes to the Holy Spirit dwelling within your life. And when we say the Holy Spirit is dwelling in your life, it is saying to you that God is not only with you, but he is in you. When you believe in your heart, when you confess with your words, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, you are under that new covenant, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence within you. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. You're going to find in Scripture that you are the temple of God. You are the temple where the Holy Spirit dwells because of Jesus Christ and the relationship that you have with him. So he's not just with you, church. He is in you. Again, I'll quote from A.W. Tozer in speaking of the Holy Spirit. He says this: "He is indivisible from the Father and the Son, so that if you were to be suddenly transferred to heaven itself, you wouldn't be any closer to God than you are now, for God is already here." Now think about that for just a moment. Now I know, how awesome would it be to be in the very throne room of God, to be in his physical presence. I mean, wow, what a powerful thought to know that someday that is going to be reality for every believer, that we will be there in that presence in the very glories of heaven. But can I tell you, church, when you really grab a hold of what I'm speaking to you here this morning, God is already close to you as he can because of the Holy Spirit that he has placed within your life. Deep within your soul, you have this connection with God, with Christ, because of the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I can tell you that our life would be anything but vibrant without the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. I say thank you, God, for what that means. And I pray over the next few weeks that the church will be stirred, that there will be a hunger that's developed within the church to fully comprehend, to fully understand the power of God that lives within you because of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you that for the last 2 years, this particular message series has been stirring in my heart. I have read a couple of books that have been put out, some of the leaders that I admire. I have had different moments when I was away at General Counsel, a conference I went in Dallas, in my personal prayer time, different things that I've studied and looked at it in prayer, and I have so much more to learn. I don't know about you, but there is so much more for us to gain in Scripture. But I've been praying and trusting God, Lord, the timing has got to be right. And it's got to be your timing. It's got to be the perfect timing when we unleash this into the church and the church can really receive it, that what it means to have the Holy Spirit within their lives. Because if we will really grab a hold of that, it will change everything about us. And it will change us in a good way. Today, I'm just laying the foundation. There's lots to go, but let me do that as we move forward. I think about Paul's prayer. I think about the prayer he prays about the church having the Holy Spirit and the vibrant life in which they can live. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Version. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "May he grant you out of the riches of his glory to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through your faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, God's people, the width, length, height, and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing, endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself." And he goes on to say, "Now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, more than all we can dare or ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, and dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be all the glory. Amen. Man, every time I read that prayer, it makes the spirit inside of me come alive, because Paul is literally praying over the church. May they fully comprehend the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that I have imparted into them, that they might rise up every single day and fulfill the purpose that I've placed within their lives. That may they live a life full of peace and of abundance and all the things that I have for them. It is the Holy Spirit, church, that gives us our spiritual vibrancy. Now, a question that I would pose to you this morning is this. What exactly does the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit accomplish in my life? Let me give you a few things. The first one is this. We are being brought from death to life. John chapter 20, verse 22, we saw that it says he breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." When you really think about it, it reminds us of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when God breathed life into man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 reads this, "Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature." What an awesome moment that was. The breath of God in the first creation story here, it meant physical life. But when Jesus breathed on the disciples, it meant new creation in your spiritual life. You're being brought from death within, and you are coming alive in your soul. You are coming alive in the relationship and who you are in Christ. In Christ and through the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we know that we have been brought from spiritual death to a vibrant spiritual life. Go with me. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. Read a couple of verses here. I'm going to read from the message here. It says, "But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moved into your life, that he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself? When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life, and with his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ." Now, church, yes, in that, there is a promise of eternal life, which will continue on as we move to number two, but it's also letting us know that the life that we live here on earth, well, that we are coming out of darkness, we are coming out of decay and destruction and death, and we are being made alive each and every day because of what the power of God is doing within inside of us. The power of God does not know death. The power of God does not know decay and depression and destruction and darkness and despair. That's not where the power of God lives. The power of God lives in the brightness of his glory and the brightness of his majesty and the brightness of his authority. That's where the power of God is, and that power of God is inside of us. So it brings us from death to life. The second thing we see is here is that we are sealed with a guarantee of salvation. Now, scripture clearly reveals this truth. We go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." Every single person who's believed and accepted Jesus Christ in a genuine manner, you are sealed with the stamp of God's approval, and he has guaranteed your place in heaven itself. Amen. Thank God for the truth in which is inside of us. You go to Titus chapter 3, verse number 4. It says, "But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." So again, I step back at this and I say, okay, thank God I've been brought from death to life. I have the promised guarantee of the Holy Spirit that's given me eternal life. Thank you, God, for what the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is doing within me. But then we keep building. I'll give you another one. What does the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit do? It gives guidance to what is true and to what is right. Now, obedience to follow God's word and remain in Christ, it is emphasized heavily in John's gospel. Even when you go to 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you're going to see that the scripture is really teaching us that obedience and faith are very tightly woven together. Now, when that is being spoken and that has been given to us, it's not given without an emphasis of a promise of help. And John does that. The Holy Spirit would be given to help you and I, guide us to what is truth in all areas of our life. In our opening scripture in John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit was referred to as what? As the Spirit of truth. If you go over into John chapter 15, verse 26, it says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he's going to bear witness about me." You go on over another chapter in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide us into all truth." Now, church, I don't know about you, but thank God for the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that's going to help lead me to what is truth in life and help guide my steps, guide my words, guide my decisions, guide my emotions. Thank you, God, for the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that's going to lead me to what is truth in life. In a culture where truth is subjective, because how many know truth is subjective in our culture? Depends on who's talking. It doesn't matter what side they're talking from. You can be in a courtroom. You can have the facts before you. One side's going to say this is true, and the other side's going to say this is true. It is all subjective in people's minds. It doesn't matter what news station you're watching. It doesn't matter who you're listening to, what political person you're listening to. It doesn't matter what sportscaster you're listening to. Everybody's got an opinion, and they're going to present it as it is truth. Can I tell you, all of that is subjective truth. And in a world that is just inundated with subjective truth, I want something that's absolute in my life. I don't want just someone else's opinion. I don't want another created being to tell me what is subjective and what they believe is truth. I want the Word of God inside of me to come alive through the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit to guide me into the way in which God would want me to go. I need something absolute in my life. You see, if you're living off subjective truth, you're going to live in chaos. You're going to live in confusion. You're going to be frustrated. If you live off subjective truth in your home, in your relationship, in your marriage, with your children, if everything's just kind of subjective and we just kind of go how the day unfolds and how the circumstance unfold, if that's the way that we're tackling life, we're always going to find ourselves tripping over our own feet. We've got to have something absolute. Someone would stand here today, "Well, Pastor, what you're saying and what you're preaching, it's subjective." I know my words are subjective, but the Word of God is absolute. I believe that. That's a part of my faith, and no one's going to take that away from me. I believe in His Word, in the power of His Word. The Holy Spirit will always lead us to what is absolute truth, and the Holy Spirit will always lead us to what is right. The Holy Spirit's not going to take us down a path that goes against God. The Holy Spirit's not going to take us down a path of temptation that we're supposed to fall into. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead us to write half the stuff that we write on social media. Come on, wait. The Holy Spirit's not going to say, "Hey, you can say what you want to say, share your emotions, everybody wants to hear it. You just throw it out there regardless of what the people think about that, who you're talking about. Just throw it out there." The Holy Spirit would never lead anybody to do such a matter. He would say, "Go to that individual and talk to them in their face, and if you need others to come along with you, gather them and resolve your conflict, but not for the whole world to see." You say, "Pastor, you need to get culturally relevant." I am going to get culturally relevant. I'm going to go to the Creator who created all of this. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to anger. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to depression, to darkness. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to foolish ideas and to foolish thinking. The Holy Spirit's not going to lead you to strife or division or envy or jealousy or anything that's up and down in your relationship walk with God. None of that has been driven by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you is the power of God that comes alive, that gives you a vibrant spiritual life that will always, always, always lead you to the right thing to say, the right motive to go, the right way to approach things. The Holy Spirit is an absolute truth that you as a believer need to begin to walk in. Amen? I was ready to preach this morning. 2 years. And as I was thinking about it this morning, I thought, I'm not even the one to present this, God, because I've tripped on my own 2 feet multiple times over. There are sometimes I step back and I say, God, I am glad you're God and I am who I am, because there is no possible way I could ever, ever do what I do without the presence of the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Thank you, God, that when I'm wrong, you show me that. You convict me that. Thank you when I've said something I shouldn't have said, that the Holy Spirit comes in right at that moment and there's that presence that says, hey, you need to back up and you need to come back and you need to say you're sorry, or you need to change the way that you're viewing this circumstance. Thank God for the Holy Spirit and the way that he challenges us, teaches us, disciples us, and brings us to a place that is a vibrant life. Not a life that's dreadful or depression or darkness, or in strife, or always an issue, or full of drama. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to a drama-filled life. Come on, that was good. Come on, amen. The Holy Spirit will not lead you to a drama-filled life. I tell my girls, you know, are beautiful young ladies now, young women of God, I tell them all the time in my family, hey, life has enough drama in itself. Let's not create any more, right? I tell the pastoral team all the time, ministry has drama within itself. We deal with hurting people. We deal with life's issues. Let's not create drama ourselves. The Holy Spirit will not lead us to that. The Holy Spirit's not going to take us to a place that causes us inside to have our blood pressure go higher, to feel anxiety or to feel heaviness or to be worried or be fearful or just not want to be around anybody, because we all feel that way at times in our lives. The Holy Spirit's going to pour things into us that are alive, that are rich, that are full of God's presence and power. That's what the Holy Spirit's going to do in us. The Holy Spirit's doing a work. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that leads us into truth. I don't want to walk in subjective truth. I don't want to listen to all the things the world has to say and try to figure out what's right and what's wrong. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide my steps and to help me in the decisions that I daily make. Amen? Now, with all that being said, it kind of builds into number 4, because through the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed in our character, beginning within. The Holy Spirit is at work in every single believer who sets their mind on him and the things of God. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse number 5. It says, for those who live according to the flesh, they will set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit will set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set your mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit, it is going to be what? It is going to be life, and it is going to be peace. That's where the Holy Spirit will lead you. Now, in doing so, when you set your mind on the things of the Spirit of God, that transformation begins to take place. Many of you know Romans 12, 1 and 2 well. Romans 12, 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. How does that transformation begin? Through the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that's at work in your life. Now, if all of that is taking place, Spirit-led transformation is going to be made evident by the fruit of your life, by the fruit of our words, by the fruit of our emotions, by the fruit of how we handle life circumstances. When the Holy Spirit is leading our lives and we are grabbing a hold of what God is doing inside of us, you will see the fruit of that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and then you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Now, when you go on down to verse number 22, it gives us the character of the Holy Spirit. Most of us know that by heart. Many of us learned it long time ago. Again, sometimes I think we take those well-learned scriptures, and if we're not careful, we quote them and say them, but we lose the power within them because it comes a little bit familiar with us. So may it be familiar, but not in a way where you kind of forget what's behind it, but may it be a familiar in a way that makes you come alive and be vibrant inside. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, it tells us what the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. It says our lives will look like this if we're truly being transformed by the power of God. It says the fruit will be love and joy and peace and patience in kindness, in goodness, in faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against these things, there is no law against that. And those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh and its passions and all of its desires. Taking care of that, your life will begin to show these things. But now along with that, to help us have a clear understanding, Scripture also gives us clarity in what the Holy Spirit does not look like. And it backs up, it actually gave the list first. You go back to verse number 19, and it says, now the works of the flesh, they're evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, lust, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, divisions, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things such as these. Even goes on to make a powerful statement and says, I warn you, as I warned you before, those who do such things, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. So in that passage alone, we see there is great value and great importance as a believer to say, okay, not only do I accept, not only do I believe and accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I believe that he's imparted in my life the Holy Spirit. And now that the Holy Spirit is in my life, I've got to grab a hold of what that means, and I've got to be able to understand how the Holy Spirit is going to lead me. And as the Holy Spirit leads me, the way I'm going to know whether I'm following that or not is the fruit of my life is going to begin to change. Now, if our life resembles the latter one that I've read, I ask, is it self-imposed? Because something's wrong. Because if we're proclaiming to be Spirit-filled believers, but yet there's intimacy, envy, jealousy, strife, sexual impurity, and all this stuff is very evident in our lives. Now, church, I'm not telling you that you're perfect and you're never not going to have a moment of anger and never have a moment of jealousy and never have a temptation emotion that is doesn't represent God, because we're human, and that's why we have Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide us away from that when we are confronted with that head on. We will be confronted with that head on. And there will be times when we grab a hold of that, and we shouldn't have, but we will grab a hold of that, and the Holy Spirit will lead us out of that. But when I say fruit, I'm saying what is coming from your life on a consistent basis. You plant an apple tree, you ought to be getting apples on that every season, right? You got a pear tree, you ought to be getting pears off of that tree every season. Now, when you first plant it, you may not get any fruit. It may take 2 or 3 years before you begin to get that fruit, because you got to prune the tree. You got to give the tree nutrients. You got to get it in the right dirt, the right soil, the right atmosphere. You got to give it the right amount of water. You got to make sure that you're taking care of that. You got to spray it. You got to keep the insects, because there's always a distraction that's going to kind of come and try to come and take all of the fruit away from that. So yes, it takes a little bit of time, but as you've been living for Jesus Christ, the fruit of your life ought to display that you are living a Spirit-filled life. Yes. Amen. Are you receiving that this morning? As Christians, if we're walking around, man, I love God and I'm a Christian and I'm worshiping, I'm living a Spirit-filled life, but our life, our fruit is still jealousy, envy, strife, and divisions, we have interpreted the Scripture very wrong. And I don't believe, and I'm going to be bold in saying it, I don't believe we've understood what it means to walk in the Spirit and to be Spirit-led. If our life is still doing the same old thing that we did before we knew Christ and nothing has changed after a few years of coming to understand him and know him, something is wrong in the way that we view who God is to us in our lives. We ought to look different. We ought to shine. We ought to be vibrant. We ought to be rich in color. We ought to be bold. People ought to see something different. There's something different about that attitude. There's something different about that demeanor. There's something different about the way they tackle problems. There's something different the way they look at the office. There's something different the way they view their home. There's something different the way that they just go through life with such a peace, but yet a courage to be able to have a faith in a God. Something ought to be different, and that difference is the Holy Spirit that's dwelling inside of you. How much less drama would we have in our lives, in our marriage, in our children, in the office, wherever we may be? How much less drama would we have in church? How much less drama would we have if you and I as believers really began to understand what it meant to be Spirit-led and following the dwelling presence? Now, I've had 2 years to really pray about all of this. So I pray that your pastor, I hope you never look up there and say, man, look at him go. I'm sitting right there with you in that seat. I just happen to be the one that called the purpose to present this word. But I want us to know together, it is time for the believers in today's culture to rise up and live the Spirit-filled life that God has meant for them to live. Amen? It'll change who we are, and as it changes us, it changes the atmosphere around us, and as it changes the atmosphere around us, we've got a better chance of reaching the culture in which you and I live. People need an absolute presence of God, an absolute truth, something that they can really grab a hold on and believe in and walk in and feel that they have found their purpose in. No better day than today to say, God, we will receive that in which you have given us. It transforms us. I'll give you one more here this morning, and that is this, because we're just laying the foundation this morning. The dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit opens the door to so much more. The dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, it does much within our lives. Like I said earlier, the Holy Spirit is God's divine presence, passion, and power at work within us. You can go to 2 Peter chapter 1, go to verses 3 through 11. I will not read that. You can go there for yourself. And you can continue to see the unfolding benefits of God and how he works in and through your life. I'll just give you the opening statement. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all the things that pertain to life and godliness. The message reads like this: everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we've ever received. How did that happen? Through the drawing of the Holy Spirit. So I step back this morning and I say, thank God for the dwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And I'll receive that amen from the mouth of our babes, amen. But even with all that has been presented, I mean, we've given you some pretty awesome things here this morning. I mean, thank God he's brought me from death to life. Thank God he leads me into what is true. Thank God that he corrects me, challenges me. Thank God for what the Holy Spirit does. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that transforms my life. But this morning, I want to leave you with this. Thank God that it doesn't stop there. There's so much more. The Gospel of Luke records the promise as this. Luke chapter 3, verse 15. As the people were in expectation, all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals that I'm not worthy to untie. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. We can't get to that point until we laid that foundation. There is that dwelling presence that begins to change your life. And as the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and as you begin to grow and understand, and sometimes that's a shorter period than others, but when the dwelling presence comes alive inside of you and you begin to understand that, it opens up the door to so much more of what God can do in and through your life. Now, in that statement, that does not mean you're any closer to God, because you're as close to God as you can be when he lives inside of you. But what it does mean, as you mature just like anything in life, you begin to understand how to operate in the supernatural power of God, how to operate in the gifts in which he wants to pour out into your life, how to move forward and fluidly in a way that God uses you in a way that's going to minister to a hurting world. There's so much to receive when you begin to understand that God has placed his Holy Spirit inside of you. And that's where I want to go with this. So these next coming weeks, God, pour into our church. Pour your Spirit out upon this church and help us to come alive and be vibrant in the way that we choose to live our lives.